Anything that's important to you, you're going to pursue it. You're going to go after it. But if it's not important, you know, for example, now you have sports in this country. Some of us, we like the American sports. Some of us like... The American sport is volleyball, and they have some other great. Not bad, but see, I'm so familiar with it. I don't know. Basketball, right? That's the thing of main one. And you have other sports. And some people who are in that, I want to believe they dedicate their entire life to that because that is important to them, right? Now in Guyana, the number one thing for us, generally speaking, is cricket, right? When you hear a certain country coming to play in Guyana, at border there, you know, people are there from 5 o'clock in the morning. Huh? They're going because that thing is important to them. Amen? Now, whatever is important for you, that's why I believe you're going to go after. What is that important to them? Not important. So what is the most important thing in your life? What you value more than anything else in this world? Only you and I could know that, right? Only you and I could know that. But our action is going to tell us what is most important in our life, right? Here's how Jesus put it. This is in Luke 12:15. And he, Jesus, said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. I like how the New Living Translation put it. New Living Translation, same words. Look how New Translation put it. Look to the screen. This New Living Translation, right? Then he said, beware, guard against what? Every kind of what?
Greed.
Life is not measured by how much you own. See that? It's not measured by how much you own. Life is not measured by that. Let's pray. Father God, we pray, God, please help us to understand this word, Lord. Help us to receive it. Help us to receive it and to practice it. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. So whatever is important to us, that's what we are going to go after. What we value more than anything else in the world, that is what we're going to be after. Now, what do you value in your life more than anything else? Or, let me put it this way, what is your value? Do you know people kind of judge you like according to your value?
Yeah.
You call it what you're worth. If a harmonic president, Trump coming here now, who got billions of dollars? Who's here? Our man like Bill Gates. Watch who's here. Because why they have worth. Near Bill walking in he comes to gun with them. But value is a very important thing, right? So what's the value of your house and land? What's the value of your house and land? I don't even know much. What's the value of your house and land? I don't know. What's the value of your furniture? Utensil, car, bank account. What's the value of the clothes you wear? You know where it's come from? All right. It didn't come from me. It didn't come from me. Or someone named Big Store. Anyway, I don't want to get into them, right? What's the value of your watch you got on? Rolex? Well, I ain't got to forget me what your son named it. Praise the Lord. And so, we tend to attach our value to what we have. But what Jesus said? A man's life consists of nothing, the abundance of the things. All right, look at here. Look at the New Living Translation. Beware. Guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. So we kind of tend to measure our life by what we got or we don't got. Right? People tend to value themselves by what they possess or have. But Jesus, our Lord, said in Luke 12:15, a man's life consists of not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Real life is not measured by how much you own. Now, to illustrate the most important thing in life, and to illustrate the most valuable thing in life, the Lord, he uses illustrations. Illustrations kind of to help you understand better, right? Amen? It helps you to understand better. So you're going to use an illustration now. And he tells us in the book of Luke, chapter 12, 16 to 21, uses this illustration to show us man's view of value. Now, man's view of value and God's view of value is two different views. You know that? Amen?
Yeah.
All right. So in Luke 12, 16, he tells us here, the ground of a certain, what kind of man?
Rich.
Come on.
Rich man.
All right, you don't have it up on the wall. I have it here, right, the scripture. Luke 12,
yes,
16
here.
There. All right. I want you to see it. Then he told them a story, all right. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. So what kind of man he was?
A rich man.
He was a rich man. You believe that some people's goal in life is just to get rich?
Yeah.
Do you know some people just for riches? I think I saw it on the news. They're robbing old people and that. Huh? Robbing old people for what? Money. Kick them your door probably. Break them your door. One money. So it is. The ground of a certain rich man. Now, nothing wrong with being rich if you accumulate riches the right way. Amen? Amen? But this guy do all kind of things to get rich. All kind of. Some women and even maybe men now, they sell their bodies for what? Money, right? When they get, I've achieved what I want in life. Said who? Said who? This rich man in the scripture maybe felt, oh, I'm a rich man. This is the most important thing in my life. How do you think, is it wrong to be rich?
No.
Is it wrong to be successful financially? No, if you get the money the right way, right? Amen?
Amen.
God promised to supply all our needs according to riches and glory. So that riches to this man was an important thing. Nothing wrong in being rich. But let's see if it's the most important. Certain things are important, but they're not the most important. See, as you begin to age, Remember, Brother Kenneth, as you get older, and Pastor Adam and myself, right, as we get older, we don't just look at important. We look at the, right, Brother Inks? Brother Inks, right? We don't just look at important. We look at the most important thing in life. Right? Because we coming off the scene, so to speak, so we got to look at the most important thing in life. When you're young, a lot of time you think that I have a lot of time to live and whatever. And have certain dreams, have certain goals. Nothing wrong with that. But put them in the right perspective, put them in the right order, amen? Alright. 12:16. Another time here today. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. This man was not only rich, but he had a successful career as a farmer. Is it wrong to have a successful career or a job? Yeah, especially in this country, you gotta trust God to get something to do, amen? Amen? Because in this country, like when I used to do business, if it don't work, you'll eat. Amen? So it's not wrong to have a good career. God commands us to work and give us ability to be successful at our jobs. We want to go into all the scriptures. But 1 Thessalonians 4, if you write in 1 Thessalonians 4, 11, Exodus 35, 30 to 35. In Luke 12, to 17 to 19, from verse 17 to 19, it seems that this man was an educated man. He was thinking constructively. He was planning for the present and future. Verse 17, he thought to himself, what should I do? I have no place to store my goods. Then he said, this is what I do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I'll store all my grains and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Now, is it wrong to be academically successful?
No.
What do you think? Is it wrong? No. It's not wrong. But some people become so educated, maybe in their view, that they even forget about God. They say, not allowed, right? Now, biblically, that those people are fools because they're full of sin in his heart, right? There's no God. God is not against us if we have education or knowledge and understanding and wisdom. Daniel 1:17 tells us, to these four young men, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. So God not to give education. He gave it to us as we do all those things that we're supposed to do to get it. We read and study, burn them in the midnight lamp, so to speak. Right? If anything you want in life, generally speaking, they don't fall in your lap. I'm talking about the ordinary people. You gotta go after it, right? No one in Psalm says, a heart panted after the water brook. So panted my soul after thee, O God. Anything you want, you don't get it. Yeah. You know, it's amazing to know we have believers as this operates. When it comes to certain things, we go after it because we know that is the principle of everything. When it comes to spiritual things, like, you know, we say, who cares? Well, that's exactly what you get. You get who cares. Huh? Hallelujah! In verse 19, the man in the parable said he was going to take life easy. Maybe he was, I don't know if he was 65, but I don't know. He was going to eat, drink, and be merry. This suggests to my mind that the man was physically fit. He was enjoying good health. He further said he was going to be merry. Is it wrong to be healthy and merry? Amen? No, nothing wrong with that. John 3, verse 2. Says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. James 5:13 tells us, if any merry, let him sing psalms. James 5:13, is any happy? Let him sing songs of praise. God is not against us being healthy and merry or glad. He desires that we be healthy and happy and merry. Amen. Amen. So look at this man now. We have seen the scripture, what he was after, what was the most important things in his life. Apparently it was money, good career, which is not wrong in itself, right? Education, possibly. Physical fitness. Now, is physical fitness being wrong? All of us here should have a good, sometimes biology principle, you need to have a good diet, right? Amen? Especially getting old. A lot of vegetables, and exercise is a very important thing. Go to Planet Fitness, amen. If you could go, amen. If you could, otherwise, you'll walk half an hour every day or an hour. You need to do that. Why think Jesus and the disciples were so healthy? They used to do a lot of walking, yeah. Walking a very, very important exercise. Now, what I'm saying, the man. Apparently, he was just physically fit, and that is good. Who don't want to be physically fit? That's what I can live to be 100, but I'm going up on my bed. I'm going to be healthy and strong.
Don't worry.
Now, you know, I can't defeat me down to you. Huh? And whatever things I have, when you pray, believe to receive them. And whosoever who said, shall say unto his own thing, without removing the cat and say, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have what he said. Amen? Never confess. I was watching at something interesting, you know, somebody watching the thing, I see they put three sets of rugs, right? And I was showing the power of words, three sets of rugs. And they were just experimenting, they talk once a sadness to this set of rugs that they had in this country. You know, sadness and just a negative thing. And the rugs begin to spoil. This word is speaking. They talk another set of rugs, look, a positive thing. A nice thing and happy thing, and the rice begin to ferment. In other words, I think that's what it's supposed to do at that point in time. Now, just imagine that if you check for the internet, you might find, right, the power of words. Amen? The man was physically, I believe, physically fit. Then he said, I know, I'll tear down my barn and build bigger ones, and then I have room enough to store all my wheat and my other goods. All right, with Wim Forst Vietnam. All right, so the man was rich. He had a good career. He had good academics. And like he was physically fit. That's what your man was living in our day and time. You don't think he would have got good social standing? Come on, you think he would have got good social standing? He would have good social standing. So part he was successful socially. Now, Jesus, our Lord, didn't say this man was an immoral man. He didn't say he was a wicked man. Maybe the man lived a good life, a good moral life. And some people maybe aim at that. Everybody has a man named Buddha. Everybody, Buddha, the religious man. And so many maybe other religious people, maybe their goal is to be a good moral. You know, they got some people, they're not Christian, but they have live a good moral life. Huh? Live a good moral life. They do good things. But that will take them to heaven, right? We know you gotta be born again before getting to heaven. So here we see a man now. What was the most important thing in your life? Let's call him who? John. John is not here. John texted me, saying, not real. All right. So, let's call his name John. John, what's the most important thing in your life? Me? Money. The money got power. Right? Career, when you got career, well, regardless when you got career. Education, when you got education, boy, that is not what I'm after. Physical fitness, look at my muscles. Socially, I'm accepted. Everybody be like me. I like everybody. Morally, I live a good life. Those are my goals in life, and I achieve every one of them. Now, if such a man come among us and want to talk to us, you think we're going to want to listen to him? Come on, you think we want to listen to him? The man is a success financially. The man is a success occupationally. The man is a success mentally. The man of success, physically, possibly, socially and morally. So you say, man, like Bill Gates walking in gallon quality, so who? It's something afraid to talk in front of them or whatever. Because of what they possess. We value them by what they got. But did he got the most important? Did this man have the most important thing in life?
No.
Let's find out. Let's check the scriptures, see if he has it. All right, here we see a man who was successful financially, occupationally. It seems he was successful academically, physically, socially, and morally. In the minds of people, how valuable is this man? In your mind, how valuable is this man? I believe in the mind, as of many people, this man would have been the ideal man. He would have been the person they would want to pattern his life after, right? Now, all these are the basic things of life. I'm a rich man, I've got good occupation, I've got good academics, I'm physically fit, I'm socially accepted, I'm living a good moral life. Huh? Some of them want to pattern their life after such a person. Now, those things in themselves, they're good. There's nothing wrong with them, but it's where you place them, right? It's where you put them. What Jesus said you must do? Seek what? Seek what? First, the what? Now, this was being the view of mankind, because you know mankind is thing. And no one in the Lord said, my ways are not like your ways. My thoughts are not like your thoughts, right? Now, listen to God's view of this man now. As I said, let me repeat so it could sink into our minds and our hearts. In the mind of others, people might think, this man is the ideal man. This man is a rich man. This man have a good occupation. This man have good academics. This man is physically fit. This man have socially accepted and morally good. What a man! But listen to God's view of him now. You know, I mean, they have a lot of people like that, maybe even in church. They're good people. But being a good person doesn't mean you're saved. You know that? Those are good qualities, but where you place them? What is the most important thing in your life now? So look at God's view of him now. Luke 20:12 tells us. But God, Luke 20:12. 12:20. My God, I got it correct now? 12:20. Now what happened? What God? But God said to him, you fool! Now if God called you a fool, you're a real fool, you know. If I call you a fool, I say, well, who you call me a fool? You know anything about me? If God called you a fool, you're a real fool. Amen? But God said unto him, you fool, you will die this very night. All that we have in this world, the Bible tells us, we brought nothing, we'll be taking it back with us. We brought nothing, we'll be taking it with us. Nothing, not one thing. But you could take with something with you. That's why Jesus said, don't lay up for yourself treasure upon earth. We're not a rat that's covered, but lay up for yourself where? Treasure where? Whatever you do, you better do it for the Lord. And don't do it for nobody else. Amen? Don't do it for the Lord. Don't do it for your pastor. Don't do it for the Lord. Whatever I do, doing for you.
Amen?
Amen? Don't do it with all the heart too. But God said unto him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then look what he said. Who? Go back to verse 20, thank you. Then who will get everything you work for? Who's going to get it? All right, the next verse now, 21. We're going to come to that just now. We're going to come to verse 21. Let's examine what the Lord said. He said, what did he call this man? Come on, what did the Lord call this man? A fool. Now, who's a fool according to dictionary definition? According to dictionary definition, a fool is a person act unwisely. He or she is deceived. They can be referred to as pinhead, half-wit, numbskull, feather brain, retarded, silly, idiot, clown, moron. Moron, etc. Wait. Is the right man he's talking about here? Huh? In the eyes of man, so in the eyes of God, this man was deceived by what he possessed. And God was saying to him, according to dictionary definition, you fool. Or you pinhead, half-wit, numbskull, feather brain, retarded, silly moral, you idiot, you clown, this night you're going to die. Why? Why did the Lord call this man a fool? That's a big question in our mind, right? You better, that's what Jesus said, what? Broad is the way that what? And narrow is the way that leads to life eternal. As I said, those things are not wrong in themselves, right? But they become wrong when you do this. When you have all of those things, and you don't have this one here. Why did God call him a fool? 12:21. Jesus our Lord give us the answer in Luke 12:21. Why? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a what? Rich what?
Relationship
with God. That is the most important thing in life. Not your money, not your job, not your education, not your physical fitness, not your social acceptance, not your morality, the way how you live. But what? Relationship. Verse 21. Let's go back to 21. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. That is the most important thing in life. Do you have a relationship with God? It doesn't matter if you're rich, you have a good job, you have good education, you have a good physique, you have very much your social accepted all over the world, whatever the case may be. You live a good moral life if you don't have a relationship with God. God is saying, you're a fool. Do you think we have a lot of fools in the world? Huh? We have a lot of fools in the world. What do you think about that? Do we have a lot of fools in the world? When people don't have a relationship with God, they can classify as fools. Now, from relationship comes what? Can you remember?
Fellowship.
Now, when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, a relationship has begun, right? Amen? But to as many as what? Receive Him, to them give you what? Power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in on His name. So what is the relationship that began there? Come on, help me. What is the kind of relationship that has begun there?
Son
and father, father, son. In other words, relationship. God become your father and you become His child, right? Amen? So you have become a child of God. Relationship has begun. Hallelujah. So I think in the church we have some people now who may have a relationship but not fellowship with the Lord. Is there a difference? Come on, is it? Yeah, today we were talking with some singer on here, from Hillsong or whatever. Like he got a problem now believing in God or what it is. You know why? You know why? Because a lot of them, they come in, they had a relationship, but now because they have fellowship with the Lord, they lose out with God. Huh? You better maintain your fellowship with the Lord. Jesus said, could you not watch with me for how long?
1 hour.
1 hour? Fellowship is important. So do you believe in the Church of Jesus Christ? We have people, they might be rich, nothing wrong, God bless you, Richard, praise the Lord, in the body of Christ. They might have good occupation, good job, praise the Lord. They might have good education, praise the Lord. They might be physically fit, praise the Lord. They might be socially active, praise the Lord. They even might be living a good moral life. But they don't have fellowship with the Lord. Amen? Everything else they're going after. But the most important thing in life, you're not going after, which is fellowship. And truly our fellowship is with who? The Father and with the Son. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and what? The fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Let me tell you, the most important thing God is looking for is not how rich you are. Anybody here could be rich like God? Come on, anybody here could be rich in the Lord, in the earth, in the Lord, in the fullness thereof, the world. Anything, you know, anything God wants, He could give it to you. But He knows what to give you and what not to give you. Amen? He know what to give us. He know what to trust us with. And for your own good. And for my own good. When God be told certain, no good thing will live at all. And look at the qualification there. What is the qualification there? No good thing will live at all from them that you got to walk uprightly. So when He gave you it, it won't become a stumbling block to you. Amen? When He gave you it, you know to handle it. Some of us maybe, well, of course, it's on the news or whatever. Remember this man, Mike Tyson? You know what money Mike Tyson had? Huh? He's a boxer. That was his ability to do. I think how many $1 million he had. And the up to that day here he was in debt. Because you get it, you don't know how to spend it. That's what I believe, right? And some of us, the Lord know what He gave us. Then one the psalmist says, Lord, don't give me too much. Lest I forget you. Don't give me too poor. Don't make me too poor. Lest I want to steal and bring and take your name in vain. Huh? God knows what to give us. So don't fight after them. Listen. Hear the Lord said what can happen. When you get it right. But what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And the righteous. I see all them other things. The money can come. The career can come. The education can come. Physical fitness can come. By whose stripes you were healed. And all the rest can come. Amen. God can give you favor with God, with Himself and man. But the most important thing you need to do is to have this fellowship with the Lord. Don't let nothing come between you and the Almighty God. You know, we sing a song in the songbook. I heard the story behind it. It got something like this. The song go, oh, when I saw the precious fountain, my memory is somewhere, right? Cleansing fountain, and then he said, all at my feet in ashes lay. Like the man had property, and he had one use of glory in the apartment, and the thing going on, the hopes we had for him. So he said, ashes at my feet in ashes lay. And he said, I will praise him, I will praise him, praise the Lamb forevermore, give him all the glory for his blood washed away every sin. Amen. I wash away my sins. So you gotta do that. Is the Hilton. You have to decide. No wonder Jesus said, "If a man will come after me, what you gotta do? Deny himself." You gotta decide if you want to follow Christ or not, right? It's not holding loose a thing. It's 100% you gotta give to Him. Amen. What is the most important thing? Is it this relationship with God? Is it to serve God and to do that which is fleeting in sight? Seeking what? First the kingdom of God. And all the rest of the things God will add to you. Maybe there's many, many believers who were in the church and they got sidetracked. Satan, you know, just tempt them and move them away. And they went after the thing and they end up, some of them I think maybe come back and say, if I didn't know him, I would have never, I would have served the Lord, I would have lived for the Lord. Now look what happened to me now. Amen? So, the connection began when we received the Lord. And listen, we need to maintain that fellowship with the Lord. Thank God we have a relationship. But if we continue to sin, will we continue to sin that grace may abound? And when Paul mentioned the lust of the works of the flesh, he said, those who do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Lord Jesus said, I am the what? Vine? Yeah, the what? That's connection, right? Amen? The minute you accept Christ, you're connected to the vine. Hallelujah! Yeah. There's the greatest connection in the world. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You know, some people tell you, you know, some people want a job, you got a connection. You got the best connection. You got connection to the vine. Amen? We talk to the Lord and learn how to do and give us what He has to give us. Now, once you become a child of God, as the Bible tells us, but as many as receive Him, to them give you power to become the sons of God, or to the sons and daughters of God. Now that we are sons and daughters of God, how valuable, how important are we to the Almighty God? Do you know how important you and I are to God? I know I love about God, He's no respecter of person. He might have different, might be in different position in the body of Christ. But God loved every one of us the same way. Amen? He cared for us the same way. Hear what the word tells us now. John 17:23. This our Lord praying to the Father said, He said of believers, God's sons and daughters, that the world may know that you, Father, have sent me and have loved them, that's believers. Listen to this. Love believers. That is His sons and daughters, believers, as you have loved me. We are so valuable to God, our Father, that He loves us just as He loved Jesus, our Lord. Can you imagine that? Every one of us, He didn't mention whether you're weak or strong or whatever. Word says, when you become a child of God, when you ask the question, God loves you just as He loved Jesus. I can't understand that. How could God love me, sin and saved by the grace of God, as He loved His Son, who knew no sin, who never committed sin? But that's the Word, amen? We need to believe the Word, amen? Amen. Every one of you, but I don't understand that. Who said God didn't love you? If God didn't love you, He'll save you. If God didn't love you, He will send Jesus to die for you. Nobody in this world can love you more than God. God commended His love or showed His love toward us, and that when we were yet sinners. Now that we are connected to the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, He desires above everything else that we maintain our connection with Him. If we maintain our connection with Him by fellowshipping with Him. What is it? Again, John 15. I am the what? Vine. They are the branches. It abides in me, and I name the same and forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. So we have to maintain that fellowship with the Lord. If a man abides not with me, is what he said? He's cast forth as what? A branch and is what? Withered. So you see that? Once you come into the kingdom, I can do what I want for doing. And then you have to stay connected, right? Amen? You think once you connect, suppose now we got this hour. Let me try this. We have this line connected here, right? And if you click one of the wire from there to there, and what happens to this light here? Go off, right? Because the current wouldn't be running to it. But if it is disconnected, could it be connected back again? So when we, you know, when we fail the Lord, we're disconnected. What the scripture says, your iniquity have what? Separated you from you to God. Well, how do we get reconnected? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and to do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins. You see the if there? Because I got some people. If I use this term, they're wrong. It's wrong. You ever hear that term?
Yeah.
They're wrong. And then we try to tell them they're wrong. Who do you think that? They have to be, huh? We are flesh. It's a war. All of us are. Have you seen the sin? Amen? Confess sin or repent of it and turn to God. How you want God bless you? God is a good, loving, kind God, but He's a God of justice also. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. So listen, we need to be connected. When we accept Christ as the Lord and say we are connected, but we need to maintain this connection. Now, how do we maintain this connection? How do you maintain this connection? Now, from the connection, right, which is relationship, we have what? Fellowship. From the fellowship, we truly worship. And from worship, we work for the Lord the way He's supposed to be worked. We work with Him and for Him. All right, please bring this up on the screen for me. This is very important, right? Because this is maintaining your connection and relationship with the Lord. This is maintaining your relationship, maintaining your fellowship. 1 John 3, 21 and 24. We're talking to how we stay connected now. A lot of people in the churches, not with churches, not with this really part. They're in the church, but they're not connected. And why they're not connected? Why? Look at the scripture. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence. Now what does this mean, feel guilty? If your conscience set you free, pray on. Right? No, something, anything, if you are a believer and you do think something is wrong, your conscience will start bothering you. You feel guilty. That's a good, that's not bad, that's good. It means that your conscience working. Right? Once you're feeling bad, your conscience working, praise God. As we go and move on now. Dear friend, if you don't feel guilty, we can come to God with what? Bold what? Confident. Next verse. And we will receive from Him whatever we ask. Why? Why? Because we obey Him and do the things that please Him. Next verse. And this is His commandment. We must what? We must believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Alright? We'll be right there now. Once you believe, you must continue to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Amen. You believe on Him and you continue to believe that Christ what came and what died for you. He was buried and on the third day, He arose again from the dead. So once you believe, continue believing that, right? Amen? Amen. Alright, what He says now? And love one another just as we command us. Now what are the two greatest commandments in the world? From God's perspective. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Good? So if you keep these commandments, if you believe and continue believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to stay connected. But if not, you're going to be disconnected because one of the branches will wither up, right? So what means to love God now? If I should ask the same time, short, how many of you love God? What do you think will happen? Anybody? I love God. Now, is it possible for you to tell somebody you love them and you don't really love them? It's possible. Yeah. Tell a girl that, because you know she got money, or he got money. Right? Say, I love you, really love you. Right? And you get them money when the money done. I say, bye-bye. Right? So, the point is, you got to ask yourself, why are you serving the Almighty God? Why? I was talking to a man some time ago. This is Guyan, right? He got interested in a girl in church. But the girl was guilty. Right? The girl was go along with him. So he would tell me no. He said, that we know, you know, like, he had an aim, his goal. He said, I'm going to church. I think I get one of them, I get you, and that's it. His aim and goal was going to get back to they get the girl. When he get what he want, he gone. Amen? You know how some people like that? Yeah. You gotta watch them, right? The devil is what? A deceiver. Yeah. Now you can't see the motive. Right, Brother Chris? But God sees the motive, right? He knows why you are doing what you're doing. And some people got wrong motive. Got what the motive, right? Amen? But to love God means what? Would you love a person you don't know them? You never know them. Say, I love this man. And I just bless him. You need to hear. To love God being number one, you gotta what? Know Him. The people that do know their God, the scripture, they're not about. You can read about a person and know about them, but if you really want to know that person, you gotta do what? You gotta be with them, fellowship with them, right? Spend time with them. I'm not a whole bunch of kind of wives, as I said before, thanks. I really know this man. They don't really know this man. Right? Oh my God, marry them. I mean, marry them. Say, if I didn't know you, still said, never marry you. You're being a dorm. But you say, no, the man. You think you know the man. But when you start living with the man, right? And interacting with him, then you know where they know the man and the woman, right? Amen? So to love God means that you must know Him. Amen? What do you think was Paul the Apostle cried from his heart? That I may know Him. This scripture says so? And the power is ready. You want to know Him. Listen, Christianity is not church. Thank God for church. Not organization. Thank God for the organization. Where we have got. But Christianity is about a person, a relationship with this man you call Christ Jesus, loving Him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, with strength, and everything you've got. Amen? You may know Him. Secondly, to love God means to have reverence and respect for Him. Amen? If we say we love God, we must have reverence and respect. Thou shalt not what? Take the name of the Lord thy God in what vain? I know some other people in other churches also. They say that it's all God, we know that they're incorrect, right? But no people have reverence when they go in the presence of the God or whatever. You saw every God say the Muslim church how they operate? Come on, you're going to say, you want to go to the Muslim church how they operate? Everybody maybe hold the ace or whatever, hold the evidence with the gun down. And they come up back. Huh? You ever hear this talking and I'm doing anything else? No. Huh? Are they on their phone? Playing games? Amen, Orlando? Right? When you come to church, you come to church, right? Come to listen to the word of God and pray. Then I tell you to be my phone, they're home, got a whole day to play my phone, right? Amen? We come to church. Church is supposed to be a sacred place. We must have reverence and what? Respect for God. So the little ones have some, they look kind of smart, right? They can't stay too long, they got a lot of energy. Alright, relax. Have reverence and respect for the Lord, thirdly. To love God means that you must put Him first in your life. So let's examine if we love God. Do we know Him? Do we have reverence and respect for Him? Is He force in our life? Huh? Let's go again. Do we know the Lord? Do we have reverence and respect for Him? Is He force in our life? To love God means this is my commandment that you what? Do what? Keep my, this is my, for this is the love of God that you do what? Keep His commandment. Are we keeping the commandments of the Lord? What is His commandment? To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to love God and love and fail Him. Fifthly, to love God means to sacrifice for Him. Anytime you give your heart to the Lord, listen, this life is not a bed of roses, so to speak. Even the roses got thorns, right? Come on, roses don't got thorns?
Yeah.
Not a bed of roses. Anytime you really want to truly serve God, it calls for sacrifice. I say it calls for sacrifice. If God called to be a minister, you better prepare. Because everything has to go there, amen? Even if you're a Christian, you want to be a real dedicated Christian, it called for what? Sacrifice. Remember the woman with the alabaster box?
Yeah.
Huh? Did anybody tell her to bring it to port on Jesus? She voluntarily did it. Right? Some of the others, they were saying, what a waste. When you do anything for Jesus, you think it's a waste? Come on, whatever sacrifice you think you made for the Lord takes a waste. It's no waste. When you do that, you really work for the Lord. The Lord said, lay not up for yourself treasure upon earth. Your moth and rot not corrupt. Lay up for yourself treasure where? In heaven. We neither moth nor rot nor corrupt. Where thee do not break through the steel. For where your treasure is, there will your what? Heart be also. To love God only means to make sacrifice. It means to trust Him. That's what I'm saying, right? R6. Love God means to know Him, have reverence and respect for Him, put it force in your life, to obey Him, to make sacrifice for Him. Number 6. To love God To love God means to trust Him no matter what happens. You know, something often things happen in our lives. What the scripture says, as long as you're serving the Lord, for all things work together for good. So no more sin, you know, and somebody that said, Lord, what Job said, though He slay me from all the things I do, yet will I what? Something you don't understand, something happening in life, we got to accept God, I'm serving you, and this thing's working out for good. Amen? Amen? It's working out for good. And eighthly, to love God means that nothing and no one will come between you and God. Paul said, who shall separate us, or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he mentioned a list of things, right? Amen? So if you want to maintain this relationship with God, we need to believe and continue to believe that Jesus Christ died for us, He was buried and thoroughly arose again from death, and we need to love God. Not only God, we need to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Now, what you want, do unto others as you have others to. That's what you want other people to treat you, you treat them the same way, right? Amen?
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen, Jonah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah! I said hallelujah! Hallelujah, we maintain this resolve. We maintain this, we maintain this relationship, we maintain the fellowship. Now when we pray continually, periodically, what do you think will happen to us? Now, who do you think was the greatest prayer person in the world? Who do you think was the greatest prayer person in the world? Jesus know the importance. Our Lord know the importance of prayer. You think Jesus was busy when He was here for the Lord? And when you if you look at the life of Christ, He was really busy for many times. Because since He gets paid the money, He even people, he feeding people, He's doing all kinds of things for them. So many nights when you get home. Now, if you think everything ministering or preaching is an easy thing, take the pulpit. Do it for a couple of weeks and see what happens. Sometimes when you finish preaching, you drain. Because the Christian scripture says, well, out of your belly shall what? Flow. Right? Now, Jesus, our Lord, knows the importance of prayer. And I know like some people are better than Jesus. I don't know. Mark 1:35 tells us, and in the morning, speaking of our Lord Jesus, rising up a great while before day, that is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. How much hours that is? 3 hours. He went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Jesus, our Lord, was always connected to God, His Father, by always doing what He says, or by always obeying and praying continuously and periodically. How much do we value our relationship and fellowship with God? How much? How much do we value it? Anything we value, we go after, you know. Anything that's important to us, we go after it. Isn't that so? Anything you want, if you want to have good, I can remember that I wasn't very intelligent or whatever, but God taught my mind to begin to help me. You see, when I went to Bible school, you know, when I went to something called Corbin School of Theology, it was a crash course. You don't want to fail, so to speak. Why never in my life? I did take whole night to get to be really studying to find what you want to pass. Amen? Amen? And some of you maybe have done that also for academics. For academics, right? You did what you had to do to get what you want. He prayed. Why Jesus prayed? What's the reason He prayed? If you're going to be successful, if you're going to be successful, if you're going to have the most important thing in our life, which is relationship, fellowship, worship, and work with God and for God, then we need to be men and women of the Word, first of all. Remember when Satan came to Christ, what he said? Man shall not what? Live by bread alone, but by every
word.
Now in these days and time, you know we have it easy. Because you got your phone on you got your Bible on your phone. A different kind of version too. So I begin to use a system in which I listen to the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, because you don't need to listen, right? He put the little thing in his, right? And you listen. You have the story but you listen to the Genesis, Exodus, because numbers you try and you write down. I mean, you check the Bible out. The Bible is one book. Amen? In the Old Testament, there were things that were hidden, or they were not unveiled. And a 400-year period in the New Testament, Jesus, the whole Old Testament was about Christ, the King, the Messiah. And the New Testament revealed what the Old Testament was all about. All right, it's revealed. So, isn't the whole Old and New Testament, the entire book is about Jesus. That's what both Paul and Paul said, that I may know him. He said, for me to live is who? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Looking on to who? Jesus. He is the answer for the world today. Jesus. Amen? Nothing or nobody else. Anytime parents come and preach and they're preaching Jesus, incorrect. When Philip went to the Ethiopian eunuch, who he preached? He preached Jesus unto him, amen? The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is concerning who? The gospel is concerning Jesus Christ. See what the Bible teaches us? Anybody else preaching anything else, they're incorrect. You got to preach Jesus, amen? So we should be people that spend time with the Word of God. How often do you spend time with the Word of God? We have some Bible reading guide. Every year we try to get it for this brethren in this church. Have any of you ever been through that guide and read the whole Bible?
I read the
whole Bible. I really have a guide now. Now, if you're reading the Bible, according to the Bible reading guide, you're supposed to be at Mark chapter 3. And you're going downward, right? Why? Because I'm reading this according to it. Then I'm listening to it, right? Amen. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he becomes.
Amen?
So what will be the result? You see, if we start being men and women of the Word, listen to what happened. We will be enabled by God to live a holy life. And we wouldn't get into all this scripture because you got a lot. John 17:17. We'll have a firm foundation for our faith and conduct. Matthew 7:24-27. We'll be given direction for our lives and service. Psalm 119:105. God present will always be with us. St. John 14:23. God lovingly manifests. You'll experience a spiritual liberty. St. John 8:31-32. When we pray, God will answer our prayer. 1 John 3:22. God will bless us and make us prosperous and successful. James 1:25, Joshua 1:8. We'll grow spiritually. 1 Peter 2:2. And best of all, when we die, after for the body, praise with the Lord. And it's one book we got. Amen? The Bible. Why? And that's the greatest book in the universe. Maybe not many people die because of the Word of God. And we get it. And look how things are so easy for us now. But yet, we neglect to spend time with the Bible. The Bible could change you, you know. You know what the Word of God says? The Word of God is what? Quick and powerful. I think that word quickly means living. And not only living, but just powerful. That's when you preach. Paul told him, he didn't tell him to preach anything. He said what? Preach the word. Because the word of God is what? Quick and powerful. I don't understand how the word of God works. The word of God could save people, heal people, bring about healing. Amen? Remember when Peter was in Cornelius' house? Why did he speak the word? The Holy Ghost tells upon them in the scripture record, right? The Word of God was able to bring out salvation for them and baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And they got water baptized. One, all in one. All in one, amen? You don't live with God. Good. Now, what will be the result when we as believers pray? Now, I support like a checkup sort of thing. When eating sort of thing, I want to know what the benefit of eating this. Right? What's the benefit of eating garlic? You know garlic? It's a powerful medicine. Same garlic. Yeah? It's an antibiotic and how many other things? So you want to know why you're eating. Amen. If I drink apple cider vinegar, why? What is the benefit of drinking apple cider vinegar? If you eat brown rice, what is the benefit of it? I want to know why I'm eating, what is the benefit? Amen? Amen. And if you think junk, you must know when you think junk, when you drunk. Amen. No, I'm just trying to make a point here. When you read the Bible, you must know what the benefit of the Bible. Amen. Of spending time in the Bible. So when you want to pray now, what will be the result when we as believers pray or fellowship with the Lord or with our Lord continually? We'll become like Him in character. John 15:5. Would you like to become like Jesus? Oh Lord, I want to be like Jesus. Lord, and spend time with me. Amen? Show me your company. Come on. You want to become more and more. Oh Lord, I want to be. Lord, so spend time with me. You'll see what happens. Amen. We'll be satisfied and fulfilled in life. John 15:5. We'll be strengthened, Isaiah 40:1. We'll be protected, Genesis 15:1. Our problems could be solved, 1 Peter 5:7. Our needs could be met, Matthew 21:22. We'll be anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. Mark 5:30, Acts 10:38. All these wonderful things will happen to us, brethren, if we just spend time with the Lord and the Word. The most important thing is to be what? To be connected to the Lord, right? Amen? Anything more important than that? What's your profit of money if you gain the what? Whole world? That's the most important. And after you're connected to the Lord, you need to stay connected. That's important. Amen? I've been connected to the Lord for about 50 years now. Thank God I'm still connected. And at the point that I'm now at, I don't intend to. Nothing else disconnect me from my Lord. I come too far to turn back. I said, come too far to turn back. And my little of the little knowledge I got, I don't know anything or anyone else that is better than the Lord. Anything or anyone that is better than serving God. Do you know about anything or anyone? Let's discuss it. Do you know about anything or anyone is better than serving the Lord? Then why we know what we don't do? Why is it? Don't people know that they shouldn't smoke cigarettes? Come on, you think a lot of people know who smoke that they shouldn't smoke? But they're still smoking. You know, people know that they shouldn't drink, maybe, but they're still drinking. Those people need help, amen? And so those people need help. But for them to get help, they gotta want to have help, right? And we as believers, brethren, let's know what is most important for us by the grace of God, and let's go after it with all our heart, all our soul, with all of them. And see, if we do that, we put God first in our lives. Right? We are connected, we stay connected by spending time with His Word and praying continuously. Look at your life and see what happens. God, the Lord is going to begin to change you from the inside. Amen? He's on the inside, what? Working on the outside. You know, if I say, well, how? You understand? Anybody understand how when you eat rice and beef and dal and chicken, how those meals, the turn into energy and growth? I mean, understand it. I'm not a biologist. I'm not a nutritionist. But listen to me, bring the food I eat, right? And when I eat, the food does what it has to do, amen? I don't understand everything about it. Now, when you drink water, you know the benefit of water. Study the benefit of water. Amen? Right? Now, if you're 100 pounds, you need to drink half your body weight in water. You have about 70% of your body's water. So all these things I look up. Amen? It hydrates you. In other words, your skin all will look good. Have been hydrated. Amen? And a lot of sickness also can be flushed out of your body. Kidney crap. You can have maybe even your kidney, everything will be helped. I'm going to bring maybe a whole list and show you just to encourage you to drink water. Amen? You need to drink water, not juice. Water. So we need to get these things for our physical mind and the spiritual mind. We need to, if we want to, well, the most important thing in life is to know the Lord, to have a relationship with Him, to fellowship with Him, to worship Him, to work with Him and for Him. Praise the Lord. And some of these things will take effort, brother sister. Sometimes get up 4 o'clock or before 4 o'clock in the morning. Right? Maybe you want to get up 4 o'clock. You can't go to bed 12 o'clock and 2 o'clock in the morning. You got a problem. You got a problem. You got a problem, right? You gotta go to bed a little early. You wanna wake up early? Go to bed early, right? Amen. Especially when you're getting old. Amen. You're young, you're strong, you know, okay? You gotta discipline yourself. If any man gonna come after me, let him force what? Deny or discipline himself. Take up his cross and what? Follow me. So doing this thing after year upon year and year upon year, right? It becomes a part of me now. When you tell me the word of God, just like food, the word of God become a part of you. Amen. So you open your mouth out of there. You want to know what was in a person's heart? Let us start talking. Out of the bones of a man's heart, the what? Mouth speaking. Amen. When you start praying and praying and praying, you might know how gonna work just when you eat food. But it works. I say it works. Those that wait upon the Lord have what? The one that we get his strength from because you're doing what the Word of God tells you to do. Spend time with the Word and spend time in prayer. Amen? I could never probably stop emphasizing the importance of the Word and prayer. That is what will make you what you're supposed to be. Look at any man, woman, boy, or girl who spend time with God and spend time with the Word of God. Right? And see what happens in their life and what the Lord is able to do with them. Possibly then, through them, not only with them. The Lord is going to make you like himself and he's going to use you for his glory and praise and thanks. So brethren, I want to encourage us, right? Most important thing in life is your relationship with God, your fellowship with God, worshiping God, working with God and for God, and watch yourself grow. I say watch yourself grow. You know what, if you get a new barn, maybe you have a little one, you have a new barn, it's 6 months old. You want to be? What did you? 9 months are big. Oh, baby, grow. Oh, baby, I confess growth. Oh, baby, grow. You think the baby grow like that? You gotta give the baby food, right? Amen? I confess that I'm confessing strong. No, you gotta eat the food by little, amen? Spend time with the Word. Don't confess baby grow, baby can grow. Baby don't grow like that, give the baby food, amen? And give the baby food according to the age, too. Right? So you don't confess. I mean, say thank God for confession. I didn't confession, but this is something you gotta do. You gotta spend time with the Word of God. Amen. You gotta spend time in prayer. What? Forsake not the assembling of yourself. Thank God for all of you. Make it out, right? You know, the devil trying to keep people away. You have all the enemies attack. In relation to church attendance, In relation to church attendance, how the devil work? All week, you know, you feel like bouncing everywhere. You got to go there, you got to go to a game, or you got to go here. Good, great. But soon you say, church? Where the sleepiness come from? Where's tiredness come from? Wherever come? Because when the devil know, he tries to what? Hinder you from coming into the house of your Lord. Now people can talk, and they're good talkers, or they can do other things. But give them a track or two to go to people and see what happens. Don't talk to somebody about the Lord. See what happens. Like the mouth, you know? They have to do some put a padlock on their mouth or something. Spiritual padlock. Because the devil's work is to do what? What is out for? To steal, kill, destroy. So listen. The ball is not in the Lord's hand, so to speak. It's in our hands, right? And we got to do what we supposed to do. And God can do what he's supposed to do. Amen? When we spend time with the Word of God, when we pray, we cannot fast into our prayer. When we come to the house of God, and when we get involved in doing something for the Lord, we can watch ourselves grow. Because God will be faithful to his Word. Amen? So brethren, I want to encourage you to do that. Alright, we'll be worshiping the Lord and praying, but let me make an announcement. I'll be going to Guyana. Praise the Lord. After, I don't know how long, no. Thank God. I'll be going to Ghana. Huh?
3 years?
3 years now? Well, 6 years, I'll just keep in count. Alright, I'll be going to Ghana. And I'm trusting the Lord that the Lord will help us over there. I've got my son over there, 5 grandchildren. Amen. They're all excited to see me. I've got to go and maybe check out how things are going over there. Praise the Lord, amen. And I'll be away for 5 weeks. 5 weeks only. And in my absence, Minister Garden and Danny will be here. And thank God for Pastor Adams. Amen. Kasi tanggal na pala, pasa doon, amen? He's the Father to us. And He, if you need a little counseling, whatever, talk to Him. I believe He will be ready to give you some good advice. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Amen. So, I'll be out there. And trust in the Lord, things will be good. Now, this is coming 2 weeks after, right?
3 weeks.